This is a replay of the Thursday night, January 22nd WGN radio show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together, and the first hour is going to be a joy. If you listen to the show regularly, you've met Del Stecker before, and if you took my advice, you've read a number of his books. Incredible writer and compelling mysteries, but if you really have read a lot of them, and you probably realize that there's a deeper side when you're looking at things like TARD or Job 2.0. Yeah, you get another side. So when recently was communicating with Del, and he said, you know, I had a not-so-near-death experience. Maybe we can talk about that on the air sometime. I just jumped at it. I said, you betcha we will. So there's a lot to talk about. And he threw out a few things, all of which are compelling. So we'll get to it as we welcome Del Stecker back to WGN Radio. Hey, Del, how are you?
I'm very much alive.
Yeah, and thank God for that. But more than most people, you've been closer to the other side than the rest of us. And so my first big question is, you told me, and we're going to talk about your quote-unquote not-so-near-death experience, but of all the times you've been on the brink of death and your doctors consider you lucky, and some of them probably shake their heads and don't know why you're still with us, but other than this last experience, have you ever had any paranormal intrigue during those episodes?
Oh, yeah. I think I've been close to the edge, as they say, or I've been in that zone where the material and spiritual realms overlap each other. There's been a great presence that I'm aware of, and nothing until this last time was as specific. There's always been an awareness, which has caused me to have a seeking. Maybe that's why I'm a writer, you know?
No, really, absolutely, and especially when it's sort of that ephemeral, you know something's there, and it's not one of those vivid A to Z near-death experiences. So that's interesting to me that there was that feeling in prior incidences as opposed to I was just sick as hell and then I woke up, you know, that kind of thing. So this last time, though, tell me what happened.
Well, it wasn't a classic near-death experience. That's why I call it not-so-near-death. You know, in NDEs, usually there's an astral projection where the person, it may have been even determined to be clinically dead or pronounced dead, that they're outside their body and they're looking back and they're seeing the scene and all that. And in my case, I was not outside my body. I was in my body. And I was aware of the things going around me, but my focus and attention was this, I described it, it was like a wrestling match with death. instantaneously, you know, in a split second, it began, it was over. And also, I was aware that it took 11 hours. So it was, you know, time was altered. But I was, I felt as if I was in a dark, murky place, wrestling with this, like, octopus that it just went on and on and on. And I had the sense that I was wrestling for my life. And I kind of asked myself the question, is this the time you call out to Jesus? And I got a definite message back. No, he's busy.
Oh, I will say, yes, already. This is very different than most NDEs. I love it. So he's busy, and you're thinking, God, I guess I'm this inconsequential. But on the other hand, the person tell you he was, or the entity telling you he was busy, that's really interesting. So continue.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telepathically told, no, he's busy. I've got this. And it was apparent to me at the time that it was, you know, if you believe in the triune God, this was the Father entity saying, you know, I got this. I'm in charge. And the sense of the awareness during this struggle was that he was my corner man in a boxing match or a wrestling match. And, you know, he was there, you know, in a sense of, you know, I'm here behind you, but this is your fight. You know, you've got to do it. And it was a very, very long round one. It just seemed like to go on forever. And then right towards the, before I came conscious to the rest of the world, it was, we were preparing in the break between rounds, getting ready for round two. This voice says to me, are you ready? And, you know, it was like, you got to choose wisely. Are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm game on. I'm ready to go. And it was, yeah, oh, good. That's all I wanted to know. And then it was all over. It was like he stepped in and called the match for me. And I became conscious to the rest of the world and normally. And I found out I was intubated with all the gear through my mouth and nose and all that stuff. And I had, you know, tubes running in and out of every part of my body. And miraculously, I had gone from blood pressure of 280 over 150 down to 39 over 30. And I had a stroke while I was in that situation. And they even, because of low blood pressure, they're concerned I might go into, my limbs would get gangrenous.
Oh, of course.
Because of no blood flow.
Right.
And but after 11 hours, I woke up and, you know, I was okay. Immediately, my wife reminded me that I reached to, you know, I made motion to her because I couldn't speak.
Right.
You know, with all the, you know, and I wanted paper and pen so I could start writing about my experience. Because the last thing I was conscious of from this voice was I was given the command, tend to your writing. And so that's what I did immediately. And from that, I going through the healing process out of the hospital about a week later, I really got back to my writing. And as you know, I finished Boardwalk Blues.
Yeah.
And then I started working on a memoir, which is very different from other memoirs. It's not about me. I'm just the main connector to all the people. These are vignettes and stories about all the people that I've met in my life.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. When is it going to be published?
It's in the final stages to get to advanced review copies. I think it'll probably, the release date will be about the end of March, beginning of April.
Very good.
It's really close to being finished, but it has to go through a publishing process and printing and all that kind of stuff. And they print a number of advanced review copies for comment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get blurbs back and reviews, and then it gets actually published and released. I'm thinking probably around April 1st, maybe a little sooner.
Perfect. We'll definitely talk about it. Then I've got a lot of questions, so hang on. We have you may have some questions, too, and you're welcome to join us. I won't completely hog Dell, and that is 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE. So wrestling with what is death, or who is death, or what was that? And is the wrestling physical, or is there... Is there a spiritual side of that as well? We'll find out all that and more coming up. But right now, I want to mention the CC Radio 3. I know if you listen to this show, you're a radio lover. And if you are a radio lover, you should be well aware of Bob Crane. He should be knighted for the work he's done with radios, because back in the 80s, when reception on all the current radios just really went to hell, he said, you know, I can do something better than this. And boy, did he. Today, this is now decades later, the C. Crane Company has a ton of radios out there, and they all have one commonality. They have just great reception, AM and FM. And the CC Radio 3 is the top of the line, the almost everything radio, with the addition of Bluetooth, because it's got a beautiful speaker and you can control the sound. So if you want to use it to listen to things, you know, you're not going to sit there with your phone and podcast, but you can have it and just near you with that alone. But as I say, great AM, great FM. And the beauty of this is, you know, you put this radio next to the average radio, tune to a weak AM station, for instance, then turn on the CC Radio 3, and I don't have to sell it, it'll sell itself. It's also got the basic emergency capabilities, NOAA weather, the 2-meter ham band. It's got a clock alarm, a timer, a dial light, presets, and it's John's bedside companion. Yeah, for good reason, too. So if you listen primarily for voice content, how it's going to sound alone will be worth it. So go to CC Radio. CCRadio.com anytime and check it out. CCRadio.com. If you can't go online for some reason, they've got terrific customer service in the U.S. of A. They'll answer all your questions and you can order right by phone. That's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, this is not only great products, but a real repository of radio information and reception and things like that. So go to CCRadio.com and look at the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. James, and yes, of course, Jackie Wilson, 1967 on Brunswick, Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher. Renard Minor, who used to call this show all the time till he passed away, now it's almost 2 years ago, he co-wrote that. And it's interesting, if you have the Brunswick 45, you will not see his name on it. And I remember talking to him about that. I said, you know, you co-wrote it. Are you getting the royalties? Oh, yeah. He said, no, they corrected that. So that was good. And, of course, it's Chicago royalty right there with Gerald Sims and Carl Davis, and just a terrific record all the way around. And the reason I played it is, of course, it was one of Del's requests. Del is able to choose all of the bumpers this hour, and 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We'll be talking about that as the hour goes on. And so Del, obviously in the murky darkness in this exhausting fight, there's clearly physicality to the story, but on the other hand, is there at that point spirituality to it? And do you have any idea, obviously you're fighting death, but who was playing the part of death? Or what?
No, it was, I didn't define it. I was too busy fighting it. I would say you could name it the devil, Satan, the Beelzebub, the Grim Reaper, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I got the very distinct impression while I was doing it that it meant to take away my consciousness and destroy me entirely. That's the spiritual component of it. I knew that if I lost this, it was the end. It was very dark and it fought dirty too. You know, it was, and I felt it for all that, you know, like when I finally came out of it after 11 hours, I was exhausted, physically, you know, arms and feet, everything hurt, you know, it took a, you know, it's like, you know, physical activity, the strain of it. The spiritual component was, there was, you know, I had a corner man who was there. You know, I felt very, very well supported, but I also got the impression that, you know, it was my job to fight.
And your ability to fight, which I think is the real thing, because when you're faced with that, you hate to think that maybe you won't prevail, but clearly you were put in charge of prevailing. So it was, very possible to do, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the really uplifting part of that story. But the final message of tend to your writing is probably most interesting, because so many of us wonder, why are we here? And, you know, if I have a purpose here, what is it? And it sounds like you got your answer to that.
Yeah, you know, everybody goes, what's the purpose of life? Well, I got a very distinct boost for, you know, I'd always wanted to write a novel and become a writer, and in late in life I did. And this was a real kick in the shorts to go back and really focus on it, tend to your writing. You know, when you get a command from, you know, what I would call the sovereign creator of life itself, saying to you, you got a job here to do, and okay, you got through this struggle. So what do you do about it? You know, it's not like you get a vacation. It was, you know, tend to your writing, which I really went back to. And, you know, I was very productive. And then after a while, maybe about 6-7 months, then all of a sudden I got writer's block. Ooh. Which I never had in my whole life, where I had a list of things I wanted to write and these topics and things, and I just couldn't get it out. And so that's when I mentioned to you about going to quantum hypnosis healing therapy.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I guarantee you. I'm fascinated by that. But yeah, in many ways, as much as it was not only a struggle in the experience you were having, but truly a physical struggle right here on terra firma, getting over that surgery and recovering. But what a wonderful gift to know your purpose, to really have a sense of here is what I'm meant to do, and by golly, I'm going to do it. We're talking to Del Stecher. If you haven't read his books, well, you don't listen to the show often enough, because hopefully I have enticed you enough that you have gone to Amazon, and I've got a link right on Raleigh.net on the homepage, and you can see all of the novels. And there's a lot of different aspects. And yes, the latest Boardwalk Blues, of course, is compelling, but so many more things as well, especially Tard, but a lot more too. But so we'll pick it up there. And I got plenty of questions. Quantum QHHT, a fascinating discipline, and I can't wait to find out what Del found out right here on WGN Radio.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl. And whatever happened to Tuesday, and so slow, gone down the old mine with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl. Girl, do you remember? to sing. Sha la 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 la.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, it is Van Morrison. Bang Records, Burt Burns produced it. And, of course, Van Morrison wrote it, as well as sung Brown Eyed Girl. And that was another one of Del Stecker's requests. And absolutely nothing wrong with it. Yes, I'm building up to the third one. But we'll be getting there, no doubt about it. And, yeah, Van Morrison is an interesting guy. Of course, not only musically, but, boy, within the last few years, his views on COVID really put him in front and center in the news. So always something coming out of Van. So good deal there. All right. So QHHT, which this now we're talking Dolores Cannon country. And what made you think that you wanted to try that?
Well, it's purported to connect your subconscious mind with healing and spiritual growth. And I was in the mind frame that, you know, I was told to tend to my writing, and I had writer's block, and I'd tried prayer and meditation and everything, mm-hmm. and nothing worked. So I said, well, okay, I'll try this.
This is great. So, I love this, you know, by the way. Now, one of the big things about it is getting onto your past life. So I can't wait to hear what you found out.
Well, here specifically, when we go through an interview process and all this preparation, I made it clear that I was not interested in past lives and reincarnation. I was more concerned about going back through time to a spot when I was very young, at about 3.5 years old, which I perceived for a long time that I was under a trauma, and my life was focused on that incident. And I wanted to know what really happened as best as I could understand. And I figured if you can take me to past lives, you can at least take me back to that time.
Yeah.
And along the process, that was uncovered, and it was like, blah, no big deal. But along the way, as I understood going through the process, you cannot fake emotion when you're under hypnosis. You mm-hmm. can't start crying, and there's no way for somebody to, you know, for the patient, so to speak, to deceive the hypnotist. And I was discussing a relationship with the lady who is, in my mind, is actually my mother, who treated me as my mother. Mm-hmm. And I just broke down and sobbed. And really, I think the writer's block that I had was I hadn't been able to appropriately and with reverence and respect for her to pen the vignette that I needed to write about that lady. And when I did, it just broke out. I, you know, they taped the sessions. I went back one time to listen to it, and it was very painful for me to go through again, because I just broke out sobbing and crying and all. And so my experience was not for past lives. It was kind of like to the edge of that point, and it was very helpful. It was worth everything I put into it, the time and the money, you know, it just really, and since then, all I've been doing is writing like crazy, no problem whatsoever. And in about a 6-month period, I completed what I call my opus, my memoir, and that was what I was told to do. So, The quantum healing hypnosis therapy really worked for me.
So I want to know, why were you adamantly not wanting to know about past lives?
I've wrestled with the idea of reincarnation, and I'm not really sold on it as a reality.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, part of understanding reincarnation is that you don't have a memory from life to life, that your soul has the memory. And me, Del Stecker, in this physical life and time now, I have no memory of that. So I'm skeptical of it. I could be totally wrong. I'm open to being totally wrong, but you know, I went for the subconscious healing portion and spiritual growth part of the QHHT therapy, and it worked. So I have nothing to say negative about it. Just I think spiritually, I just don't believe in reincarnation. Yeah. If I had my corner man in my not so near death experience talking to me, I think that was enough. You know.
Yeah. No, I get that completely. But if you ever do it again, I'd be curious because what I've read on some of the people who've gone through it, and YouTube's loaded with that, of course, is that some of what supposedly was a past life, and who the hell knows, while we're on terra firma we don't have that insight, but it seemed that unlocked and really showed exactly what was going on with certain problems they were having in this existence. And I always found that things that plague us now, sometimes we come away knowing why, possibly knowing why, who knows. But I find the whole thing fascinating. I tried it once and I was a failure. I think it was the wrong person, but I just couldn't get anywhere. Absolutely nowhere.
Really?
Nowhere. And, I've done a lot of those other things because over the years I've had people on the air and I've gone through many things. And I have been able to be hypnotized without a problem. But this was one time where, 2.5 painful hours and I went nowhere. But maybe I'll try it again sometime because it is fascinating. And you certainly got more than you bargained for out of it, because if it stopped a writer's block, that alone is enough to recommend it. So here we are, and you, like I say, have had more close brushes with death than most people who are still around to talk about it. So firstly, how are you feeling now?
Actually, the last 6-8 months, I've had a number of visits with various practitioners, and all these things are coming back positive and good. I went to my cardiologist; they said, "Don't come back for a year."
Wow!
I joke about it. When people, particularly, I'm 75 now, and people get up to a certain point in life, they start telling you about their health, and and I go, "Oh my God, I don't want to hear the organ recital." But I have probably about 8 conditions that are chronic and serious. But right now I feel great. In the last 18 months since I had that experience, I've progressively gotten better and better. And I feel better. One of the things, I mentioned to you is that I had nagging arthritis in my back, and I had ozone therapy. And, now I have no arthritis in my back.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many sessions did it take?
Three.
Wow.
And ozone, oxygen O3 is a gas injected into my my vertebrae and my lower back, and I'm like a kid again. I mean, I was crippled. My back would bend over when I walked. Towards the end of my walks, I'd be in pain and agony. Now I'm fine. When I think about all these things for alternative health care, the individual is the patient. You have to take responsibility for yourself. And certain things work for somebody, certain things don't work. You and I have talked about acupuncture before. I'm totally devoted to acupuncture.
Yeah.
I've gone through osteopathic manipulation therapy, which I think is a lost art in osteopathic medicine.
Yes.
We have many modalities of potential treatment. And I try to tell people to take the best of Western medicine, which is fantastic when it comes to technology and diagnosis. I've had probably 5 or 6 brain MRIs because I have a brain tumor and I have a brain leak, a brain fluid leak constantly. They never would have uncovered these things without, the technology of the Western medicine. So I'm never going to be, poo-pooing that. And plus, after this heart thing, I had the ablation, new technique, but then again, I use acupuncture. I use other means of therapy. If you're serious about your life, take control of it and do the best you can to find what works.
Oh, absolutely. And I got a lot to say on that, too, and I will. And, of course, Del will as well. And we've talked off the air about acupuncture and many other things. But especially at this point in time, yeah, you are in charge, and it is your responsibility if it is your body. So we'll pick it up right there. 888-876-5593 if you want to join in the conversation. Otherwise, sit back, and I'll be happy to hog Del. But we're playing his final request next, and I'm bracing myself for this. This is tangible proof that I love, Del. Yeah, I wouldn't do this for you. Yeah, wait till you hear it. It will be very familiar coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, I don't have to tell you it's ABBA, who in the latter 70s was Sweden's second biggest import. The only thing bigger was Volvo. All right, tell you what, with over 150 million records worldwide in a short period of time, who can knock it? Well, as long as I don't have to hear it. All right, but I made an exception for Del, but I come to find out that this wasn't entirely your fault. You were coerced into making this request?
Not coerced. It's an act of love. Yeah, I did it twice.
Your wife. All right.
Yes.
well, all right. I'll leave it right at that. But as I say, you know, in the last 50 years, and that record is going on 50 years old this year, they certainly haven't slowed down. They wound up getting divorced. They weren't singing and all that. But it went on and on with Broadway musicals and all that. So your wife certainly has the taste of the general population, and I can't knock it. So now the song, okay, will never be playing it again. All right. So with that in mind, talking about AltMed, you know, one of the things that's a great frustration when I talk to people who are, I won't say failed by allopathic medicine, but there's a lot of things that allopathic medicine doesn't do well, like autoimmune conditions and other things. And in talking with some people about looking outside the box, one of the things that I hear that just causes me to cringe is, well, my insurance doesn't cover it, so I can't consider it. There are times when investing in yourself, I think, is really key. But one of the problems for people is also just complete lack of knowledge in terms of, you mentioned acupuncture, and for some people, they have absolutely no idea how to find somebody who'd be good at that and how to know if somebody is good at it. And that's true for all of the disciplines that way. Now, as far as you, I assume, you know, growing up by Blue Island and all that, acupuncture and chiropractic probably weren't two words in your vocabulary. So how did you come to embrace this?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but my professional life, I started out, I worked as an administrative faculty member at a medical school. And then later on, in working in nonprofits and fundraisings, I managed and administrated a number of medically related projects. And I began to be very friendly with a lot of medical practitioners, and one in particular, Cliff Metter, a very famous doctor. He and I spent a lot of time talking about medicine. And, you know, you mentioned allopathic medicine. You know, the history of 1911 was the Flexner Report. It was an analysis of medicine in America at that time. And that's when they decided that chiropractors were not physicians.
Right.
But osteopaths were. You know, and from that point, you know, historically, our culture in America, we took a direction. And all these things, home cures, you know, it's like today. I live in Lancaster County where there's a lot of Amish, and they've actually jailed people in the Amish community for having homemade salves and remedies that they, you know, it's a terrible thing. They charge 25 cents to their neighbor, and so they're put in jail for selling, you know, these forbidden substances, you know. We've lost sight, that we are in control. We should take control of our own medicine and spend some time, do some reading. There's a wonderful book I saw about 50 years ago. It was about all the healing that the Native Americans had. It was a catalog kind of compendium. And, they had tremendous plant-based healing and salves and ointments and all kinds of things. We just gave it all up. You know, the FDA outlawed everything. Matter of fact, with ozone therapy, it's been used for over 100 years in Germany. But if you go to ozone therapy, they have to give you a disclaimer that it's a toxic material.
Right.
And anything is toxic if you overdo it. But it was grandfathered in because it was in practice before the FDA came into existence. But, spend some time. You know, I think we were so reliant upon systems and now healthcare is a system. You know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it was not a system. It was a relationship with you and your practitioner, and you could have discussions and talk. Now they just want to shuttle you through real fast because they're in a system. They're graded, you know.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you're going to find very, very few individual practitioners of medicine. There's very few out there now. Everybody's tied up to, you know, various groups and
right.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
Structure.
No, you're 100% right. And as you know, sadly, and I won't get political, but in the name of making healthcare more affordable, it's actually become less within reach of people who don't have enough money to get out of the system entirely. But the information is still there, and I agree wholeheartedly that doing some research is just your responsibility. And I'm so glad that you stayed upon us, because it took John a while to embrace. Yeah, I'm going to try acupuncture, but he'll be 3 years post-stroke in a couple weeks, and acupuncture is the only thing that really made a big difference. So thank you for that.
Well, I can only say to people, I'm not a doctor, but I have no answers that are definitive for anyone except myself. I have experiences, and I'm trying to attempt to understand those experiences. And along the way, in my experience, I got a really great spiritual message from, what I believe to be the sovereign creator of consciousness. And he said he's in my corner and told me what to do. So,
and you're doing it.
I'm happy.
And
yeah,
I can't believe we've already gone through an hour. So a couple months from now, when the memoir comes out, my memoir, I'm looking forward to having you back on.
Okay.
All right.
I'd love to.
Thanks, Del. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
So Del Stecher, yes, the link's right at Raleigh.net. We might continue to talk along these lines or whatever else is on your mind next hour right here on WGN Radio.
That no one can break.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Robert Knight. I shouldn't say of course, because it doesn't exactly sound like Everlasting Love, yeah, Buzz Kasem's song that he had such a big hit with in 1967, but 6 years earlier in 1961, he was on Dot, and there was a really big Nashville disc jockey at the time, Noel Ball, who has sadly died about 1969, really young, but he produced it, and it was on Dot, Randy Wood's label of Randy's Record Shop in Gallatin, Tennessee, and so it was Chris in Ohio who requested we play Dance Only With Me, and yeah, hadn't thought of that in a long time. Doesn't exactly sound like Everlasting Love, but a young Robert Knight who went on working for Vanderbilt, and it was really weird because he worked somehow in academics, you know, labs and things like that, but he also was a groundskeeper there. So yeah, you figure it out. I don't know. 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. And Jim in Richmond says it's a local emergency. So Jim, what's going on?
Tonight, I'm sitting in the living room, and I have all my heaters on and everything because I'm trying to protect my pipes, and everything went black. So I called my neighbor next door to see if it was just my power went out. And he says, oh, no, he saw some truck run into the power pole and knocked the cable down.
Oh, geez.
So we got We Energies called me about 10 minutes ago. Oh, it's, you know, automated, saying, oh, your power could be back on by 1:30.
Well, firstly, obviously, it's a power company that doesn't have the right amount of redundancy because it should have just switched to another path if they really had it going on. I was spoiled by EPB in Tennessee, which was great at that. But nonetheless, not unusual. And very often when it's cold enough, and I won't say that's the case, even though it's very cold where you are, but not cold enough for this, you wind up losing power completely. And that happened to us in Idaho, where we were without power for a week when it never got to zero. It was always below that. So I feel for you. I do.
Right. It's supposed to be in the morning. It's supposed to be the air temperature is supposed to be 20 below zero.
Yeah.
And then the wind speeds could be as much as 30 miles an hour.
Well, understood. And there's very little you can do, obviously. So hopefully, I assume you don't have any alternative heating sources.
No.
So
my brother goes,
you're
turn
all
the stove on.
No.
And I go to him, I can't turn the stove on because it doesn't have a pilot light like the old stove.
Well, no, even you know. Oh, it's electric?
I know, carbon monoxide.
Well, yeah, right. And considering your vision problems and all that, no, you do not want to just turn on the stove. This is not acceptable. And I assume you don't have gas heating, and I assume that you don't have a fireplace.
I have gas heating. I don't have a fireplace.
Well, if you have gas heating, what's going on there? Is it working in tandem with electricity for forced air, or why aren't you getting heat from your heating?
It's forced air.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and it was funny. It's got a thermostat, you know, battery out for a thermostat. Mm-hmm. I heard the thermostat click in. thermostat clicked in saying, we need to turn the heat on. You couldn't turn the heat on.
No, not when it's a combination like that. And while space heaters are dangerous as hell, if you had one there, I'd tell you to use it for the moment, but you don't.
Right.
So,
But I'm just saying, what can happen next, you know?
Oh, believe me, the list is endless. Let's not go there. Oh, God.
Right.
So yes. Now, okay, so it is 11:15, and so 2 hours and 15 minutes, if they're right, about 1:30?
Yes, I'm hoping. I heard a sound of a big truck, because we live in this small subdivision, and they don't, you know, the roads are snow-covered because they don't salt here, you know.
So oh, I do know.
That
terrible.
Truck probably slid into the hole with the wire on it.
Yeah, well, a lot of things. Yeah, one of the things I used to do, not that I recommend it, but if you have a good enough hot water heater that you've got hot water, very often I would just take a really hot bath and stay in the bath until the water started to get cold, and then I'd dry myself off and get under the blankets. So,
right. Yeah. I don't have a tub. I have a shower.
Oh no, you can't do that. You'll run out of it way too fast. But I definitely used to do that, and I'm sure you don't have much in the way of thermal underwear because you weren't expecting this.
Believe it or not, I threw all the old thermal underwear out when we extricated the house. I had tons of it because I used to work outside, running the route.
Right, and you thought
I threw it all away.
Exactly, because you thought I'll never need this again. Surprise! Right. Oh man. Well, Jim, I certainly hope that it is shorter rather than longer, and definitely at the very least, I hope you're going to be able to stay under some blankets.
Well, that's where I'm going right now, and
good.
I have my CC radio, and I'm taking that with me.
All right.
I'll be listening, and Bear is walking around here. Because I'm using the light on my cell phone to see.
I understand
see.
That. Now, but here's the thing. When you get in bed, have Bear get in bed with you and use his warmth.
He sleeps with me all the time.
All right, good. It's going to be a good thing. You betcha. All right.
He's walking around going, where's the light?
Yeah, well, sure, absolutely. So, well, yes, get under those covers now, and good luck.
Right. I had other things to tell you, but it's not time tonight.
No, I just want you under the covers. We'll talk when on another night. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks,
all
everybody.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, this is no time to sit up and have a conversation. Get in bed. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and we have Eduardo, and Eduardo's in Tampa. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit better here, although it does, cool down at night.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest the Paragon. I just saw this on Amazon, but I saw it on Inside Edition, Paragon heating jacket.
Oh.
They go up to like 150 degrees. Yeah, I didn't know that such a thing existed.
I tell you, I don't know what it is either. I mean, I know of things like it, but I don't know about this, so I got to look it up. Yeah. Yeah, those
did you get those photos I sent you?
Yes, and I thanked you on the air for that. That was great. I see that the pharmaceutical companies came out in full force. I knew they would.
Yeah, so they're going to do another one in February, so I'm just going to wait for OnTarget to send me the email to reply yes. And next week I got the HCA Largo. That's a transporter. And I applied to some other ones too, although some of them, they kind of require some kind of like certification, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there was even one for Tampa General, and that one didn't happen. So, but I do have one out there for Baycare, for Advent. So I try a different one. So,
mm-hmm.
I guess this is the month for that kind of position, It was in high demand, so I went ahead and applied to as many as possible.
Good.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, you looked great, and so did the food.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing the other one in February, because, I mean, it's a great setting, so hopefully it goes well, just like the one that I did last weekend.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that'll keep you busy. Well, in the meantime, stay warm.
Yeah. Oh, I got to request a song here. Hall & Oates, Family Man.
Okay.
Maybe next week.
All right. If I got it here, I might do it tonight. All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Yeah. I was going to mention one more thing. Did you ever hear this story? I saw this on the CBS Morning News. It says in 1943... they conserved wax paper and steel used in breast-like machines, and then the order was rescinded less than 2 months later. You ever hear such a thing?
It's one of those things where Smithsonian Magazine talks about stuff like this, and the U.S. enacted wartime measures, and it didn't last very long as far as that goes. I think January 18th was the anniversary of this, and it was January 18th.
Okay, that's
19,
why it was brought up then.
Yeah,
okay.
Right, 1943, and of course there was a wartime ban on sliced bread sales, so It was quite the event. And the Secretary of Agriculture said he was sure that in the name of the war, housewives wouldn't mind slicing their own bread at home, contributing toward preventing a bread price increase, and on and on it goes. So
interesting story.
A lot of those things, and to some extent, I guess psychologically makes people feel like they're contributing, but some of them are just so over the top. You really wonder, is it better living through chemistry? What are these people eating?
All right. Well, everybody stay warm out there. Cause, like every news story, the first thing they lead in is guess what? This storm coming. So everybody stay warm. Look out over a neighbor or friend, yeah.
And I'll tell you, even though people are, noticing it's 62 degrees in Tampa and are not feeling sorry for you, it's 62 degrees with 88% humidity. When it gets down to the 50s with 90% humidity, that cuts through you like nothing. So, stay warm.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, we'll talk next week. Thank you very much, Raleigh.
Yeah. And I guess we have a little else to talk about when the weather becomes the headline. So that's probably good news all the way around. Yeah, that's right. All right, so 888-876-5593. And we're going to talk to Ken in Arlington Heights about some of the heated clothing. I think it's lithium batteries these days, which is actually a lot more palatable than the good old days. So, but we'll get Ken's take. And we've got Chuck in Rockford, and we've got someone in Morrisville. I'm going to find out who. All right, plus Clayton in Indianapolis. So there's room for you, too, if you'd like it, on WGN Radio.
She had silky smile. She took a standard pose as she presented herself. She had sultry eyes. She made it perfectly plain that she was his for a price. But he said, leave me alone. I'm a family man. And my bite is much worse than my bite. He said,
right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And about those heated vests, Ken in Arlington Heights, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, good evening. A couple of things before I get to that, real quick. Blake Family Man brought up something, and I have another question. I saw Daryl Hall. He came through Chicago back last fall on a solo tour. And I love them, and I've seen him live when they were together at Hall & Oates, and my friend and I, we walked out during the intermission. He was, some of these guys just hang on too long. He could not hit a note. The band was on spot, but he could not sing. And I actually felt sorry for the guy. And we ended up having to leave. We couldn't take it anymore. It was really horrible.
Wow, yeah. that is a shame. And I know he had that TV show for Daryl's Place and had a lot of people
on. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, it's a great show. But, some guys just don't know when to hang it up, unfortunately. So
no, you're right. But, I was playing Lee Andrews, Questlove's dad, because it was Questlove's 55th birthday, and I loved Lee Andrews, but he was case in point. Man, I'll tell you, by the 80s, he should never have gotten on a stage. So
yeah, and you could even tell the band members were very uncomfortable. They knew what was going on. It was just really bad.
So. And one of the
problems, and I'm a musician, and so I really felt bad for him.
Well,
so,
yeah, but the other thing, of course, is in being a musician, you know this, he had formerly very high register, almost stratospheric notes that he would hit. And so as he matured, there was no way. And so
yeah, I mean, when these guys write these songs in E-flat, I don't know what they're thinking 20 years later down the road. They're not going to be able to sing them.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, and there has been some talk by some people doing exactly what you did. And I guess on the positive side, the reviews, I heard one of the reviews said, well, he's more soul-oriented. And I thought, well, there's a way to put it. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I've seen a couple of other artists come through, and I know that they bring it down a notch. They'll bring it down maybe a half step or a full step.
Yeah.
Most people can't tell. If you're a musician, you kind of can tell that it's not in the key that it really was written. But I'll take that rather than not hitting the notes.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, so I listen to you quite often, and maybe I haven't heard you talk about Glen Campbell. And I think the guy was phenomenal. I don't know if you ever caught his concert back in 2003 when he played with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. PBS did a special with him. And if anybody gets a chance, just Google it. It is just absolutely amazing. And I love his music. And I think, and if you can play sometime tonight, either Wichita Cowboy, Wichita Lineman, or A General on My Mind, those are just two tremendous songs. I don't know what you ever thought about Glen Campbell.
Incredible guitarist. Great session guy, too. Worked a lot of sessions. And most of the stuff that I really like for him is when I can really enjoy his casual guitar playing, because he is just effortless.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the produced stuff, sure, those are good hits. And he did a number of things. Of his, you know, heavily produced hits, I guess Dreams of the Everyday Housewife was my favorite for some unknown reason. But there were so many.
It's interesting you bring that up. I played that for my wife, and she said, boy, that wouldn't get played today. You know, the words to that song is just how the woman gave up everything for her man in the song. It's just kind of... Out of today, my wife said that song wouldn't be played on the radio. So.
Well, if you've got the Barry Manilow album that had Mandy, there's a cut on that that will drive your wife crazy as far as that goes. And oh man, she cut her wrist quite by mistake. It was real touch and go for a while. That's one of the lines.
Oh, I'm
trying to think of the title now, but it was one of those Barry Manilow songs that was just terrific. That there was no way that was going to get anything in the way of radio play. But there's a lot of that. I mean,
now I saw Barry. I saw Barry Manilow in Las Vegas last year, and he was tremendous.
Yeah,
the guy, 80 years old, and he sounded phenomenal. So, some guys can still do it, I guess.
Yes,
but,
Sandra. It's called Sandra by Barry Manilow. Go look for it, Sandra.
I will do that.
All right.
But, originally, I called in because my son works in heating and air conditioning out here.
Okay.
And he's got a full Milwaukee Tool battery operated pair of pants that he wears and a vest, and he's got a battery operated hat, and he's out in this weather working. And so for those of you who, you know, I know Home Depot carries it, and I believe that's where he got it, but it does keep, he says he actually starts sweating. So,
I believe it. No, I absolutely believe it. And yes, now with the lithium batteries and stuff, I mean, it's ready for prime time finally. Some of the earlier incarnations are laughable by comparison, but there's good stuff out there.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know the brand.
The show. Thank
yes,
you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you for calling.
Tonight, that'd be great.
Okay, great. All right, bye-bye. So that's the deal. Now, we, by the way, are in the middle of news on WGN, so if you're listening on the stream, you're hearing me. If you're listening on the radio, I'm talking to myself. But we'll play some Glen Campbell coming back.
There is someone walking behind you. Turn around, look at me. and there's someone watching your footsteps. Turn around, look at me. There is someone who really needs you. Here's my heart in my hand. Turn around, look at me and understand.
James, and there's some early Glenn Campbell. 1961, it was the first thing that charted for him. And it was on Crest Records. Yeah, Sylvester Cross's label. Those sorts of goodies that aren't anything like Glenn Campbell. But yeah, it was from there on. And we were talking with Ken about that, which I think was probably during the news. But yeah, and I was mentioning how much I like some of his guitar work, to say the least. Sometime we'll play more of that. All right, so that's the deal there. Now, 888-876-5593. We have Marcus in Morrisville. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, good to talk to you again. WBT.
Watch Buick Channel.
leaving the AM dial. Which begs the question, how many more three call letter stations do we have still on the AM dial? KQV left quite some time ago.
Well, quite a bit, quite a few actually, as far as that goes. You know, of course, you're calling one right now with WGN, but WLW and KOA and on and on. We could there are a number of three letter calls. What's interesting, sadly, is some of the world class tower sites like the Mason site for WLW have pretty much been dismantled. And you know, we think about that normally with lower wattage AMs because they're directional, and you'll have a big tower site in the hell of land's worth a lot more. But even with single sticks, you're seeing people sell land for outrageous prices. And so I think that's really going well. But there's a lot of three-letter calls, including WRR in Dallas. So, you know, they're there.
And, of course, KYW, can't forget them.
Well, yes, exactly. And that was the big screw you to NBC that the FCC did when they tried to screw over Westinghouse and didn't get away with it.
Yes, indeed. But it's just sad to see them leave the AM dial. Of course, Radio 1, taking their sweet time, still has the announcement on to go to 107.9 from January 8th. Wonder how long they're going to keep that going. Goodness gracious.
When we talk about that signal, I mentioned Watch Buick Travel, and I laughed, of course, that the original call letters, WBT, did not stand for that. But when a Buick dealer bought the station, he immediately dubbed it Watch Buick Travel. Well, he was selling Buicks, and he really didn't see that much of a reason for a signal out toward Gastonia. So that used to be a 1A non-directional. He sold half that signal to KFAB in Omaha. And unfortunately, at that point, the decades were numbered. Notice I didn't say days, but decades, because as time went on and the population grew, it grew outside of their coverage area. So it was actually a long time coming. And then you have the horrors of things like what happened to WOWO in Fort Wayne because they wanted to increase the wattage on WLIB. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But it's but it's emotional. It isn't business. We're not having a business discussion right now. And for those of us who wax sentimental about it, it was a point in time that we didn't realize was going to go away. You know, I think I DX'd quite a lot, but if I realized that it was that time sensitive, I would have spent a lot more time in the latter 50s and early 60s glued to that radio at night.
Yeah, even the 70s and 80s, you know, my era there.
Yeah, and that's probably true. By the time the 70s are around, unfortunately, I was too old and working too much to care as much. But man, I'll tell you, you know, when you're a kid in your bedroom and it's, you know, it's 1957 and your parents aren't going to let you out anyway, what else is there to do? Yeah, besides hide under the covers and DX. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy it today, even though it's some would call it boring, but I like the noise. I like the station as it relates to the noise, and you just can't.
Well,
it's getting fewer and fewer, you know.
Oh, of course. But, you know, the interesting, the noises have changed somewhat, because I'll tell you, you want AM noise. Yeah. Part of that dial, if you're too near harp, sounds really eerie at night. And so the first time John yep. experienced it, because you can actually late at night in northern Idaho hear some of that harp stuff if you're down in the, you know, 500s easily. And it's a very eerie sound.
What about the shortwave signals that I have a broken, but I still use it, CC original,
yeah.
or CC plus, I'm sorry, and you can get those shortwave signals that are only 1 kilohertz on the AM side there.
Yeah.
Like 1066.
Right.
For WWV.
Yep. And there are there's interesting that there's in fact MIT Technology Review spends a lot of time with this, and every year they do the breakthroughs, 10 breakthrough technologies, and one of them this year I think had to do with shortwave. There again, you don't have a lot of things that would cause you to want to listen to it in terms of content. But can be nice to listen in terms of getting it. You know, I don't think I have any shortwave destinations anymore where I say, "Gee, I really want to listen to this show."
Right, but yeah, just the experience of turning the dial and hearing the, you know, the different noises and the different.
Oh yeah, boy. Sometimes more noises than anything else. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. And watch how you're using those antennas, because very often the only thing you're amplifying is that noise.
Oh yeah, but it's just the sentimentality of it. WBT.
Of course. It's heartbreaking, but you knew it was coming. And
yeah.
it's been coming a long time, and it'll be interesting to see over the years what they really wind up doing. Because of course the other problem with AM, and if you're still DXing, boy, do you know this when you talk about noise, is so much interferes with it that didn't even exist 50 years ago. So it becomes even more challenging. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going. But every time I have this discussion, I always want to interject that we're talking here about the delivery truck. You know, what we really should care about is what's on that truck. Like when Amazon comes, you don't see what's the truck look like. You see what's in the package. Well, what's in the package is programming. And if somebody is doing something that you want to hear, you'll find it. I don't care if it's AM, it's FM, it's shortwave, it's online, whatever. You'll
yep.
find it. And that's, I think, the real lack today is there's not much compelling content.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go cry in my WBT beer.
Yeah, right. No, believe me, I'm with you. Yes. One Julian Price place. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
All right. But thanks.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Okay, bye.
Yep.
Yeah, the last time we were there, I took John there. Gosh, it's now been probably 20 years, and visit a friend who was the program director at the time. And, I was mentioning that I used to have a good friend who programmed it over 50 years ago, Andy Bickel. And he said, he showed me his, my friend showed me his office, and Bill White was who it was. And he said, "Was this Andy's office?" I said, "No, that was his secretary's office." Yeah. And I pointed out Andy's office, and he said, "Oh, that's now occupied by three people." So, yeah, that's the way it is. All right. But One Julian Price Place, AM, FM, Jeffersonics, and television. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we'll pick it up. We got Chuck, we got Mark, we got Chris, we got Clayton, and there's room for you two on WGN Radio.
Answer me, oh my love, just what sin have I been guilty of? Tell me how I came to lose your love. Please answer me, sweetheart. You were mine yesterday. I believe that love was here to stay. Won't you tell me where I've gone astray? Please answer me, my love. If you're happier without me, I'll try not to care. But if you still think about me, please listen to my prayer. You must know I've been true. Won't you say that we can start anew? In my sorrow now I turn to you. Please answer me, my love.
If you're happier without me, I'll try not to care.
But if you still think about me, please listen to my prayer. You must know I've been true.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, Nat King Cole, it was James on the South Side who requested that a while ago. And Don recently said, play something James requested. So Answer Me, My Love is it, 1954 on Capitol. And we hope James is doing well, and we'll hear from him again soon with any luck. All right, so we've got Chuck in Rockford. What's up tonight, Chuck?
Yeah, I recognized him the minute he came on.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, he was going to play in Rockford, but he died before he got here.
Oh,
yeah. And I had meant to meet him if I could, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
But, well, there's a lot of people like that. You know, I wanted to meet them, and then turned out it took too long.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I know that feeling. That's my callback list, actually. All the people on my, I've got about 50, 60 people I need to call back. And, you know, John jokes the only way that anybody gets off that list is they die.
Yeah, I meant to engage your guest, but he was kind of off on a little bit different subject than what I was going to ask him about. Do you engage very many people that have seen people after they've died, you know, and they've come back to them? And
oh, yeah. No, are you kidding? Well, you know, one of the things I've mentioned before, when I go to sleep at night and I want to fall asleep quickly, I look for things on YouTube. And my criteria is they can't be so interesting that I'm enthralled because I'll stay awake. And they can't be so boring that my mind will wander because I'll stay awake. So it's got to be somewhere in the middle. And what I've discovered is people's near-death experiences qualifies as that. I have heard hundreds of them. Now, in most cases, when I'm lucky, I don't get through them.
How many are slightly phony, too, you know, because God, it's meant so many of them.
Well, no, I mean, who knows? Yeah. They all see, other than, I thought Dell's was interesting because they all online seem to have a commonality of how it is. But the stories are fascinating. And the reality is, as long as we're walking this earth, we're not going to know for sure.
Well,
unless you've got something to share with the class.
Well, yeah, my aunt, you know, said that her husband had come to her after he'd passed away,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't go into a lot of detail. Well, I've had the same experience myself, and you just don't know how to even approach it, but I guess probably as a witness to the fact that there is a hereafter.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know how much you've engaged with the Bible, but I think it's Matthew 17. Transfiguration.
Okay.
And that, well, it was by my wife. She came back probably about 40 days after she had passed,
Right.
And woke me up about, I'd say around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, she was so bright and ivory. Light.
Sure.
And she didn't light up the room. She was so bright I could hardly focus on her, mm-hmm. you know. And they say that you're in the presence of God. You know, that you can't even take the light or whatever it is, or the radiation that comes off of His presence.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it reaffirmed things that I was in doubt about.
Oh, sure. It becomes a knowingness. It absolutely becomes a knowingness. And it's not anything you can prove, but you know it.
Yeah. Well, I think this proved to me, you know, and
right.
Now my wife and I both got baptized together in Jesus' name.
Uh-huh.
About 60 years ago. But I don't know. You know, some people they don't even know how to present that as a testimony, but.
There's a ton of it. Believe me, if you are at all interested, and you can go online, go to YouTube, and you will hear testimony after testimony. It is there.
Yeah, well, I have been going to YouTube, and I catch a lot of stuff that's phony, too. But they was talking about a kid that's over, I guess, in Germany that's supposed to be... they think that he had been President Kennedy in his former life.
Uh-huh.
But they started going into that. And it was something that was on.
Yeah.
It was either on the news or YouTube.
Yep. No, that was on Circle of Lifetimes. I'm aware about it. Johann Schuller. I have no idea. I kind of wonder when these people are somebody famous. You know, I think most of us, if we had past lives, you couldn't find us in a phone book. But absolutely. But John points out to me that once again I'm about to blow a break and end the hour. So we will talk to you soon. Thank you, Chuck.
Oh.
All right. So on that note, we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
There's a pawn shop on a corner in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And I walk up and down neath the clock.
By the pawn shop on a corner in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
But I ain't got a thing left to hock. She was peaches, she was honey, and she cost me all my money. 'Cause a whirl round the town was her dream.
Was her dream.
Took her dancing, took her dining, till her blue eyes were shining with the sights that they never had seen.
Never seen.
If you should run into a golden-haired angel and ask her tonight for a date, she'll tell you somewhere there's a rich millionaire who is calling again about eight.
There's a pawn shop on a corner in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And I've just gotta get 5 or 10.
5 or 10. From the pawn shop on the corner in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Gotta be with my angel again.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It won't surprise you, that was under the direction of Mitch Miller. Yes, it's Guy Mitchell. Bob Merrill wrote it. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it was Mike from Cleveland's Request, 1952, on Columbia, both 45 and shellac. Your choice. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Mitch is in Baghdad, Kentucky. Mitch, welcome to WGN Radio.
45.
All right, so Mitch, you have to turn off the radio. You got to be listening to me, not it. So I'm going to put you on hold, and you won't hear anything. Well, you will. You'll hear the show, but when the show's not on, you won't hear anything during the breaks. But we'll get back to you, but be listening on the phone, not on the radio. So we'll put Mitch on hold until he figures that out, and we'll talk to Mark in Aurora. So, Mark, what's happening tonight? Tell me all about it.
Well, when I called John, I only had one item. Now I have five, but
five.
Most of them are quick.
All right.
WLS.
Yes, World's Largest
another
Store.
Another three-call letter station.
Oh, there's many, many of
was
them,
yes. It was a top 40 station when I was growing up, and now,
yes.
Sadly, it's a conservative talk station.
Well, it's on,
and
a,
I grew
it's on
up,
AM, you know, you expect that.
Yeah, and I grew up with another AM three-call letter station in Buffalo, New York, WGR.
Of course.
And it may be WGRZ now, or maybe that's the FM counterpart.
Well, I think it's FM. I think WGR is still, unless I'm wrong, I think it's still WGR.
But now WGRZ used to be WGRQ, and that was another rock station that I listened to when I moved over to FM.
But no, the 550, I think, is still just WGR. They're sports.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're 5,000 watts. And what is this thing you referred to called HARP? An eerie sound on the AM band.
Yeah, boy. You won't be able to hear it. You're not going to be within range. But I want you to do some research.
What is it?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute. But here is what you have to know. It's HAARP. It stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. It's in Gakona, Alaska. Of course, you know, and it was a rainy day, too, but I said to John, we're driving to HAARP.
Okay.
And so we did.
Okay.
We drove to HAARP. It's operated by the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, and it investigates how the ionosphere layer affects communication. Obviously, we know some of those answers as DXers. But, see, there's conspiracy theories, not only about weather control. My favorite are the conspiracy theories about thought and mind control. And, is HAARP really just research into atmospheric physics, or is it some form of mind control? And that's the conspiracy about it. But hearing it is a very odd sound. And it's also, when you're there at night, it can generate these faint auroras, you know. So, of course, they do that intentionally. That's how they do atmospheric research and stuff like that.
It was originally the Air Force. Do you know what musical intervals are transmitted? Because I'll lay good odds that they're either half steps or diminished fifths.
No, I don't think they're doing it. I do not think they are doing musical intervals.
Oh, so they're not putting notes together.
No, I don't think you'll be hearing any music. You'll just hear it rise and fall. You know, if you're down at the 550 end of the dial, but you need to be in
the area.
Yeah, as far away as I've hit it is North Idaho. But the first time you hear it, it's like, ooh, that sounds eerie. And then, you know, I go into, of course, all the conspiracies about HAARP. And as I say, it was originally the Air Force. And it was the kind of thing that Art Bell loved to talk about. And one of the Alaska representative, Nick Begich, he actually wrote a book, Angels Don't Play This HAARP. And so you can read about you can read about that. And the mind influencing is my favorite. Causing earthquakes, I never cared about that. But is it pure fiction? Well, they'll say it is. But, of course, Nick Begich has different opinions. I don't know.
Well, that's two out of five items. The third one is pretty short, too. The reason I don't usually join you till 11:25 is that I listen to three radio programs starting at 10 o'clock. One of them is a hokey radio drama called Unshackled.
Unshackled from Pacific Garden Ministries or something.
Pacific Garden Mission.
I used to listen to Unshackled every day in San Diego.
Yeah, and I listened to it on a Christian station out of Forest Park. It's 99.9. And then And then at 10:30, I listened to Bill Pierce's Night Sound, and I streamed that on WLJR, which stands for Lord Jesus Reigns. And then at 11 o'clock, I listened to Tim Keller, who is deceased, but they've archived him, and I listened to him on the Moody Network. And by the time all those shows are done, I don't get to you till 11:25, but that's okay. Fourth item, I heard your caller talking about battery-operated vests.
Yes.
And recently, I had to do some research on minks because I heard Steve Dale, who is WGN's pet expert, you know, basically condemning the use of fur, which naturally he would. However, the research that I did on minks, well, I have mixed feelings now, because on the one hand, minks are harvested by either gassing them or breaking their necks. On the other hand, minks, although they have high intelligence, they are not very cooperative when humans try to get them to do tricks.
No, they're a nasty animal. They're not quite as nasty as the chinchilla, but they're nasty.
They have been known to be aggressive towards humans. So on the one, and I'll tell you, a lot of times when I go through the lobby of my apartment building, some woman touches me and says, "I love your jacket." Now, I've never gotten a girlfriend that way, but I'll tell you how I got this thing. I am not a rich guy. However, at one time I was considering a living place called Friedman Place up in Skokie Park Ridge, Illinois. And this is a place for visually impaired people of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was told that if you have any more than $2,000 in the bank, the government will take it and use it to pay for your lodging at Friedman Place.
Right. Now, this is a common threshold for anything like SSI and things like that, of course.
Yeah. Right. And now I didn't feel that the government needed my money, so I looked for a radio advertisement, or I looked for something to buy that would allow me to spend the money in another way. And normally I would have bought audio equipment, but I heard an advertisement on the radio for Andreana Furs having a sale. And what do you know? I bought a mink bomber jacket.
Okay.
And the hood alone on the sale was 66% off, but the hood for the coat was $500 by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is the most expensive thing I own. I have a Casio keyboard, which was $1,500. I bought that recently, but I usually don't buy expensive things because I can't afford to, but that was how I acquired my fur coat. I was trying to have a small enough amount of money in the bank to move into Friedman Place. And then guess what? I didn't move into Friedman Place.
Well,
I moved
guess what on this too? You probably weren't aware of this, but when you are going ahead and saying, see, I've got less than, you know, the required amount of maximum amount of money, they do a look-back period, because a lot of times people will
see what you bought.
You know, to see how it was spent in the last couple of years. Not on what, but did you spend down? And usually spend down kicks off a waiting period.
Yeah, that was what I was afraid of. But now for my last item, and you may be one of the few people who knows this. You played Hall and Oates, Family Man.
Yeah.
Tell me the other artist that I'm thinking of who did that song.
And had a hit with it?
No, but it was on one of his albums.
Oh, well, now you're talking about a lot of things. Firstly, it was originally not Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates covered it.
Oh.
It was originally Mike Oldfield.
Oh, okay, so I've got it reversed.
Yeah, Mike Oldfield did it, and the vocalist was Maggie Riley. And
yes,
so,
and yes.
That's on miles out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is
yeah.
a
oh,
Mike.
Oh, it's on 5 miles out.
Yes, it's a Mike Oldfield song. It was and Hall & Oates did it the
yes.
same year, but it was a cover. And then Maggie Reilly did it again, covered herself. And so
I have most every album by Mike Oldfield. I am a big fan
okay.
of his, especially Hergest Ridge, Tubular Bells, Crises, and yeah, 5 miles out was the first album to have Family Man, and I was.
It was also,
by
the way, it was
song.
Also a single. On Virgin in 82, they released it as a 7-inch single.
Yeah, and I would suggest to listeners, if you want to hear some progressive rock artistry, listen to Mike Oldfield. Oh, man, I mean, he's the Tubular Bells guy.
I know, you're talking to somebody who never wants to hear any progressive rock artistry, so you need to talk to somebody else about that.
He's actually more like a classical rock
Yeah,
Fusion.
Right. We're going down a path that I don't.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Very good.
And,
well, that's excellent. Somebody has to. A lot
yeah,
of people have to.
I didn't know that Mike Oldfield was the originator. I thought he covered Hall & Oates, but
no,
it was just the reverse.
It is absolutely
well,
the reverse.
Well, thank you for the education, but that's, Mike. Oh, Mike Oldfield is good stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
anyway,
I think I've actually got his version of Family Man on this computer because it came out on Virgin on a single.
Oh.
So if I do, I'll play it for
you. Yeah, well, maybe you should play that tonight, too.
Yeah,
if I did, I'll
play it. If it's not on here, it's not.
But
I'll play it.
So I'm not quite as radically opposed to mink coats as Steve Dale is. But
the original,
I've got mixed feelings.
Right. The original reason for the mink coat was because mink transmits, it preserves heat better than most other fur. And
yes.
so it was originally for that. And so that's why it, and then of course it became in design. But people who are thinking about it in terms of animal rights and all that, the mink is mean.
Yeah.
And not very sociable. Not quite as bad as the, not quite as bad as the chinchilla. Now that is one little mean creature, but the mink is not sociable. So fine. If you can't eat it, you might as well wear it.
I have worn this thing in single-digit temperatures, and it doesn't need any layers.
Right. That's why mink became prized.
Yeah.
The idea of beauty and all that came later, but originally, back in the day, it was because it preserves warmth.
And even 2/3 off, it was still a little over 5 grand.
Oh yeah, no, it's a pricey thing.
I think it's the most expensive thing I own.
Yeah, no, I'm not
a rich guy by any stretch.
I have a full length mink jacket now. By the way, I did not buy it. Val Shively's wife decided to become an animal rights activist, so he gave me her mink. And so I have this mink. I've never actually worn it, but if it gets cold enough, I will put that puppy on.
Yeah, right. And I'm probably a lot bigger than you are in all the wrong places.
Oh, I don't know about that, but yeah, I think I might have been taller than the wife, so I don't know how it would fit. But one of these days I'll model it. All right, thanks, I appreciate it.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I got it, I actually took it somewhere to see if I could have it altered. And when they told me how much it would be to have it altered, I'll leave it just the way it is. Thank you very much. And so, haven't had occasion to wear that. And then I have another, it's more of a mink shruggy. It's not a stole, but it's back when they had the 3/4 length sleeves, like the early 50s, mid-50s. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what that was about, but I have one of those. It's blonde. It's somewhere. It's in a box somewhere. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I haven't forgotten Chris or Clayton. Isaac. Isaac's got a request. Mitch is here. All right, he's learning to use his phone, and he's going to be silent for a couple minutes, Mitch. And when we come back, we'll talk to you, and you'll be talking directly to me, not listening to your radio. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
She had silky smile. She took a standard pose as she presented herself. She had sultry eyes. She made it perfectly plain that she was his for a price. But he said, leave me alone. I'm a
82 on Virgin, WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Mike Oldfield, he did the chorus all by himself, but a bunch of other people, including him, worked on the lyrics, including Maggie Riley, who was the featured vocalist on that. All right, so fine. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Isaac on the south side has a request. So, Isaac, what is this request?
There's a song. It's not by Mel. Is it Mel Torme?
It could be. I gotta hear the song. Okay.
It's called The Goodbye Look.
Okay.
But he didn't write it. I think he's covering the song.
Okay.
And they're talking about... I tried to look up what exactly they're talking about. They're talking about escaping from an island. They talk about leaving, I guess, Cuba. I'm not really sure exactly. So I thought maybe you would have some... The song apparently was written in the 80s by a different guy, and I guess...
Right. Donald Fagen.
I guess it was big enough...
Originally Donald Fagen.
Okay.
And so...
I don't know him.
Yeah, that's the deal. You do know Donald Fagen, by the way. You just don't realize you do.
Okay.
But the Mel Torme version came out in, like, 1990, so about 8 years later. So...
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much later.
But Steely Dan, that's why you know Donald Fagen.
That's his stage name, Steely Dan?
No, Steely Dan was the group.
Oh, okay.
And he was co-founder, reeling in the years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Walter Becker and Steely, John says, shut up. He came in here to say, stop talking. So I will, and I'll play it for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, coming up on WGN Radio. That's the original, 1982. It's from the album The Nightfly, which was his first solo album. Of course, he had done a lot with Walter Becker as Steely Dan, but 82, first of four solo albums, and The Nightfly. It was nominated for like 7 Grammys. It's a big, big album. And he is still performing. He's performing as Steely Dan, obviously not with Walter Becker, who sadly died in 2017, but he still shows up. He's a New Jersey boy and grew up. Originally, he was in, I think, Passaic. But his parents bought a house in the suburbs in I don't know, New Brunswick or something. And the deal is that he did not like the suburbs. And so he was there at home being morose, doing what? Listening to nighttime radio. Yeah. And so he's a kindred spirit from that way. The first record he ever bought was Reelin' and Rockin' by Chuck Berry. And so that's the deal there. And then it went on from there. He got very interested in jazz. Jazz, actually through a relative who suggested the Newport Jazz Festival, and he went. All right, so that's the... Oh, but Isaac wanted to hear the Mel Torme version. So that came out in 82 on the Nightfly. In 1988 on Concord Jazz, they put out... it was a nice CD series. They had all sorts of people. I like the Rosie Clooney one they put up. But anyhow, Mel Torme, they put out a nice CD on him, and one of the cuts on that was the Goodbye Look, and here's his cover.
The surf was easy on the day I came to stay on this quiet island in the bay. I remember.
So yeah, you make up your mind. I'll go for Walter Fagan, but that's just me, and not to take anything away from Mel Torme, of course. So 888-876-5593. Let's see if Mitch in Baghdad, Kentucky is still with us. Are you there, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, good deal. So what's up?
Well, I was listening to your other caller, and he mentioned something about ghosts.
Mm.
And I do have several ghost stories, but this one's one of the first things that ever happened to me when I was in high school.
Yeah. Tell me.
Well, I was at a bar, and the name of the bar was Crossroads, which is kind of weird. But the I was in this bar, and I suddenly was overcome with this feeling of dread, like, I've got to get out of here. Something horrible is about to happen. So I left the bar, and I was going to my car to the parking lot. There was a police car there, and with the lights on and everything, and I didn't see what was going on, but it just looked like it was probably bad. So I went home, and I heard that this guy, his name was Ricky Clark. I went to high school with him. This was in 76, I'm going to say. And he was stabbed to death. I don't know what the reason was, but they murdered him right there at the bar. And so, anyway, about 2 weeks later, I was in the cemetery, which is behind my mother's house. It's the cemetery's in the center, and then these main roads are surrounded. It's in a place called Greendale, Indiana. So, anyway, I'm in the cemetery, and I'm smoking some weed with my dog and my beagle. And I just kind of, like, got this odd thought came in my mind. I'm always looking at the stars, and they like really cool, you know, patterns. You see stars that have you seen them in like forever, really big stars. Anyway, I thought, I don't know, I was thinking something stupid like that. If that's, I think that's a UFO because it's so big. I said, okay, if you're real, come on down. I'd like to meet you. I don't know. I was just like a weird thought came in my head. If you're real, I'm not afraid. Just come on down. And I hear this weird moaning noise. Moaning sound, just I can't really describe it, but I mean I've tried to imitate it. It was just like, just miserable, you know. I was like, oh my god, what was that? And I wasn't sure I heard it or not, but I probably did, and I was like, I'm gonna get out of here. And I heard it again, and I was like, whatever this is, I don't want to know. I changed my mind. I don't want to meet you.
Yeah,
if that's what you sound like. And I'm so I'm leaving the cemetery, and I'm calling for my beagle lady who left me.
Yes.
She ran on without me and went home, which she would never do. So I wondered if she heard it.
Well, she probably not only heard it, she might have seen it.
Yeah. Animals, I think, have a, like, they can see stuff we can't see.
Yeah.
So I get home in the yard, and there she is waiting for me. And she's like, I'm like, lady, what are you doing here? And she had this, like, she does this weird dance, and she smiles. And I was like, well, you know, so anyway, I come to find out that, like in the section of the cemetery I was, down a ways was the new graves, and Ricky Clark was there. He'd been there for 2 weeks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, my mom, well, I kind of have, me and my sister all have it. My mom, she produced what they called a blue light.
Oh, really?
And I think something about spirits were attracted to her.
Uh-huh.
And she stayed at a bed and breakfast once, and I was supposed to meet her, but I didn't meet her until she went to Belterra, the casino.
Uh-huh.
But the bed and breakfast she was in the servants' quarters, a man and a woman. They lived together, and that was their room they put her in. And they didn't tell my mom anything that it was haunted or anything. And she said she saw two figures, a man and a woman, floating over the top of her head looking at her in bed. And
right.
So she pulled the covers over her head, and she said she prayed to St. Michael or one of them, and I don't know, she said the Lord's Prayer, and then she said she heard a big bang, and she looked up, she brought her covers back down, and she said they were gone.
Wow. I love it.
But, the next day she told them what was going on because they were throwing her clothes out of the chest of doors, and she'd come in the room, and it would be a big mess, and the room was locked.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, that's the... caregiver or whatever, the caretakers that was their room.
Wow.
And they just don't want you in there. And she said, well, it'd been nice to, you know, give me a heads up that it was haunted.
Right, exactly, yeah.
She found out the hard way, but, you know.
Interesting. I love it.
Yeah, he would go to, have you ever heard of Hill Forest in Aurora?
No.
It's a historic building. It's still there. It looks like a big wedding cake.
Okay.
The only way to describe it. It's three layers, and they get smaller and smaller, and then the top is the tower.
Okay.
And you can tour it, and it used to be a underground railroad for slaves. You know, they there was a cave that led up to the house, and they would hide them up there.
I just looked at a picture of this. I have seen I have seen this picture before.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you
and
know,
you can go in that. Huh?
I didn't know about the ghost component, but just looking at this picture, I remember when I saw it, I thought it was the eeriest looking damn place.
Yeah, it is it's very was high class for that period, that time.
Oh yeah.
And I think he made up the design.
I think so too. And the way they have that rounded front, I remember they had like a rounded top. It seemed like something landed on it from outer space.
Yeah, so. That's the very top is the tower, which had a telescope in it. He could look at the river from up there. That's why he built the house up there.
Yeah, I remember, God, the carpeting on the staircase. It had this weird staircase that it came in like a couple different directions and all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Man, if you don't see well, you can't tell the steps from the design. It is just
hard. Oh, yeah, and you can hit your head when you go up there.
Yeah, right. There's all sorts of things. I did not realize.
It's odd.
I have seen pictures of it, but I never knew it was an attraction.
Yeah, it's like $5 for adults or something, but you get your money's worth. And it has that smell of the mildew.
Yeah, must. Permanent onion. Yeah, that musty smell, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a cellar. There's like a fruit cellar or something down there. It's real bad down there.
Oh, man. It did. It looked haunted to me. Yeah. I think I'll stay away.
She's from Aurora. And that's a big deal in that town.
I guess.
Hill Forest. Yeah.
I guess. All right.
Yeah, have you ever heard of, I'm from Kentucky, which is the home of Waverly Hills, the hospital?
Yes, absolutely.
The haunted hospital?
Yes, absolutely.
And they were saying they're going to turn it into a hotel where you go on purpose to try to see something.
No, no, no. That was right in Louisville, and it was... I think it was Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
That's it.
No, I lived in Louisville. I remember it. And so
it was a big during Halloween.
Oh yeah, and it didn't close until the 60s. It was around for
a
while.
They give tours now. They still give tours, I think. But the idea of turning to a hotel, it went through. I just don't think they could come up with the money.
I don't think so either. That'd be like turning Muscatatuck into a hotel.
No. They only they were only going to do the hospital part, not the whole thing.
All
just
right.
The one haunted section.
All right. Interesting. Well, I believe I thought it was going to be a prison.
You mean turned into a prison?
Yes, I swear to God, it was probably in the early 80s. I heard they were turning Waverly into a prison.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Well, but it didn't happen. I guess, that, again, they didn't have the money.
They'd be double haunted because they say prisons are really bad.
Well, you're going to have to read up about it and let me know. I'm pretty sure that they were going to turn Waverly into a prison.
Oh, God. Yeah, they said during the height of the tuberculosis thing, they would die about once every 6 hours.
Okay.
And they built this tunnel because they didn't want the patients to constantly see ambulances going there. That would make them upset.
Well, wouldn't it you? Yeah.
Well, yeah. So they invented the tunnel where that they took the tunnel down to the train. Never saw it.
Right, and as things started to dwindle, because, you know, antibiotics, streptomycin, and all that, they moved them to Hazelwood.
Mm. Yeah, so they finally found the cure while there was a married couple that was there, and they found the cure while they were there. They survived.
Yeah, right. No, it was streptomycin, absolutely. That's true. But there were still remaining patients, and I'm pretty sure they shipped them off to Hazelwood. But you'll have to let me know. You're closer than I am. You can tell me if it was going to become a prison. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. Do it again soon, Mitch.
Hey, do I still get a request?
Yeah, what is it?
Guess Who, Undone.
Okay, you betcha. Keep listening. Okay, thanks.
I will.
All right, so let's see if we can play that next on WGN Radio.
She's come undone. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when I found what she was headed for, it was too late. She's come undone. She found a mountain that was far too high. And when she found out she couldn't fly, it was too late. It's too late. She's gone too far. She's lost the sun. Come undone. She wanted truth, but all she got was lies. Came the time to realize, and it was too late. She's come undone. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when I found what she was headed for, lost the sun. She's come undone. Too many mountains and not enough stairs to climb. Too many churches and not enough truth. Too many people.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1969, RCA. It was the flip side of Laughing, Undone, the Guess Who. And they were Winnipeg, to say the least. And Winnipeg was just great in the late 50s and through the early 60s. You know, the weather obviously just sucks. And so it was that the city came up with these idea of neighborhood teen clubs. And they were just great. There were probably as many neighborhood teen clubs as there were high schools, or maybe more. And all of them, what would happen like on Friday, Saturday nights, is they'd have local bands. And in Winnipeg, it was things like a Chad Allen and the Expressions. In fact, a couple of the Guess Who's, I think, were actually in that and all that. But, there was somebody before that. Allen, the Silvertones, and all that stuff. But anyway, 1965, Randy Bachman gets together with Burton Cummings and, of course, forms the Guess Who. And they did very well, obviously, in Canada, over 30 hit singles in Canada, but 14 charters in the U.S. As well. And so it was that they did very well for quite a while. But yeah, they were the hit of those teen clubs for quite a while. That also at the time, the Jury was a big band in Winnipeg. George Johns had been in that and several others. And it was just I'd say of Canada, the musically the best place was absolutely the Winnipeg. And by 67, the guests who were the house band on The Swingers, that was a CBC show, and they were the house band on the CBC TV show, you know, around the time we were doing Hullabaloo and Shindig and all, they did Let's Go and all that that kind of stuff. And I think it was all the stuff on Let's Go that one of the things that was interesting was that an advertising guy saw them on Let's Go, and he was working on the project with Coca-Cola. You'll remember when a ton of acts were doing the Coca-Cola jingles and all that. And then they released albums as well, and the Staccatos that became the five-man electrical band, and you know, the Guess Who, and you'd buy the album mail order from Coca-Cola, and it was an interesting little thing for them, but they did very well for quite a while, to say the least. All right, so 888-876-5593. Boy, I've digressed a little too far, and I'm leaving a lot of people holding, and I apologize for that. So, what are we doing here? All right, Roger in Lincolnshire. Hello, Roger. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Valley. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Happy New Year.
You too.
Enjoy your program. Good to talk to you again. I talked to you about 6 months ago, and I brought up the name Hayden Thompson.
Yep.
And,
I remember that, the early rockabilly guy, yeah, on Sun, you betcha.
Yeah. Well, his wife, Georgia, called me on January 2nd.
Well, he died on New Year's Eve. Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you knew that, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I did hear.
Yeah, he is.
And he was in Wheeling. He was in a Chicago suburb when he died. But
he lived in Wheeling. He and I used to drive a limousine together. I drive in the mornings and he drives in the afternoons.
I remember so well, yes. And at the time, I think you didn't even know who Hayden Thompson was, but
I didn't know. I worked with him, you know, for a good 2 years.
Yeah. No, he was a big deal, and when Charlie Records re-released his stuff in the 80s, it kind of gave him a new life, which was nice as far as musically.
A boost, and, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. Charlie never paid the royalties, so I can't. John says I got to go. I'm out of time. The show's over. Call me next week. We'll talk more. All right.
Okay, sounds
appreciate
good.
That. Yes, all right. So Adam says, time to go, and I got it. Apologies to Annette, to Chris, to Ralph, and Clayton. I'm so sorry. But next week, it's full shows all week long. Of course, we'll do Monday night trivia, and then Tuesday night, whatever's up for grabs. So sorry, I'm talking too much, but glad to talk to you. We thank Adam, we thank John, we thank you, but most of all, those of you who called, I'm appreciative. Talk to you next week on WGN Radio.
Brooklyn Bodega Bloodshed, plus Time Has Come Today, and The Lion's Snare. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. New York Deli Double Down. Flatbush turned meat counter mayhem when a hot-headed hailstorm of bullets ripped through a Brooklyn bodega. Two men sliced down between the cold cuts and canned goods. Customers mustered up courage and scattered as cops carved in fast, sirens screaming, searching for a ham-handed hit-and-run gunman who bolted before the bread went stale. Both victims were rushed to the hospital and are expected to survive as detectives grill witnesses and rewind the register tape. In this deli, the only thing that should be loaded is the pastrami sandwich, not the handgun. Out of time, back to the filcher. Hot schlub time machine in South Beach as crime runs out for a wanton weasel in the wind and on the watch list. Cops contend they came to claim this guy's clock after 4 years of futzing around for a fugitive who'd reputedly reached for a revolver to rip off a rich Rolex from a Turkish tourist. Fingers pointed at a fella already in the can on another case, so as soon as he was sprung, TikTok timepiece was up. Countdown to confinement, it's about time. Caper Lions. Rookies of the Jeer, the circle of high life trapping a trio of Detroit Lions newbies in a swank tank prank at a snazzy steak salon in Motown. The prime honored attrition of sticking NFL rookies with ridiculous restaurant tabs through three raw recruits with a $41,000 bill. In this case, a high-flying hoax. The wacky work of wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, but the for real football feeding frenzies are frequently no fun for the new grids in town. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.